Hanukkah begins Tuesday at sundown. And members of the Jewish diaspora around the world will be lighting their menorahs. Shamus candle is always lit first. It's called the helper. And then with the helper, they'll light one candle on Tuesday. And then for the next 8 nights, they'll light the Shamus, a candle, and 2 candles, and then 3 candles, and 4 candles, and 5, until all 8 are lit by the 20th, which will be the last day of Hanukkah. The holiday goes back through all of the dates, back to the history of the tribes 5,000 years ago. But it wasn't until about 200 years ago that it really became a significant holiday. It started out, I think actually, it was sort of an important holiday about 100 years after Jesus was born and lived and died, because there was a tension in the Greek community of the time where Jews were being assimilated into the Hellenistic sort of culture and the affluence and the sort of hip things that all the Greek people did. They wore the right clothes, they had the right hair, you know, they were like in. So, Greeks and Jews were mingling, and some of the younger Jews were saying, oh wow, Hellenistic is the way to be. And so there was this tension between the Jewish community and cultural identity and the Hellenistic community. And so there was a need for something, because Christmas was just starting to be a big thing then, so there needed to be some sort of identity between the Christians and the Jews. There was a civic mindedness that was included, and cultural ideas and values, and wealthier, educated members of the Jewish community wanted to be like all of the Greeks that were in charge, the Greeks and the Romans. So there was a king then. It was Antiochus Epiphanes, was the king of Syria, and it was a certain branch of the Alexandrian Empire, and he decided that Judaism, along with any of those other non-conforming cultural practices, if you weren't Alexandrian and like the in crowd, you were out. And it was a pretty severe out. You could not practice anything cultural that was not Greek, or you would be killed. So the Jews were ordered to cease observing the Torah. Instead, they were required to follow all the imposed, purified rules that were sort of Grecian, Roman, and it sort of changed all the Jewish traditions into something that looked more Greek or Roman. So an Athenian expert was actually sent to all of the temples to inform all the Jews how they would do their religion. A statue of Zeus was erected in the temples, and all the names associated with the temple were changed to Greco-Roman gods. Offerings on the altar included pigs. All of the Hebrew laws of purity were systematically violated. Circumcision, kosher food, Shabbat was forbidden. Pagan rituals and sacrifices were instituted not only at the holiest of temples in Jerusalem, but at all of their shrines throughout the land. Now, you still had that tension because these were the cool people that were telling them to do this. So there was division in the Jewish community. There were many Jews who were filled with inspiration at the worldliness, the education, the wealth, the power of the Hellenistic culture. So they started leaning in the direction of just putting blinders on to what was happening in their temples and with all of their cultural and religious traditions. There were other Jews still deeply committed to the Torah, deeply committed to their traditions, and were revulsed by not only what was happening in the temple, but the cooperation of members of their own community. So, there was one man, Mattathias. He was a priest, very deeply committed to the Torah, who ended up stabbing a Jew who was sacrificing in the new cult in the temple. So he stabs the Jewish person, violating what he considered the traditions. Then he killed the king's agent who was there in the temple also, putting non-acceptable things on the altar, which started the revolt that we have come to know as the Maccabean Revolt. Maccabeans were all the followers of Mattathias Maccabee. And the war was an anti-colonial revolt against this guy, Antiochus Epiphanes. And a civil war started in the Jewish community. Mattathias and his five sons were the leaders of this group, and everyone that followed them was considered a Maccabean. And they couldn't quite confront the whole Syrian army, because there weren't that many of them. So they used a lot of what we would call guerrilla warfare techniques, hiding out in Jerusalem and other places, sticking their faces in people's lives, fighting, killing. And there was the sneak attack that sort of put this terrorist feel into the Hellenistic leadership in the Syrian area. After Mattathias died, his sons and the followers sort of took over, and they considered themselves the resistance to assimilation. There were still many Hellenistic Jews who were working with the Syrian government. Jews who had continued to drift towards that Hellenism, and they were seeing their community split right in half. So more and more moderates started slipping over to the Maccabean side, until in 166 BC, they recaptured Jerusalem for the Jews. With this victory, they set out to rededicate their temple. This meant, among all things, they had to cleanse it, but they needed the sacred oil. They needed sacred oil that prepared in a certain way by the leaders of the Jewish community and the priests and the rabbis. But it takes 8 days to prepare the oil, to go through all of the different rituals that make it sacred. And what they decided is that they were going to light that lamp, knowing they did not have enough oil. They were going to cleanse the temple with what they had, and they had faith that something would happen. The lamp was kindled, and miraculously, the oil burned for 8 days, long enough for the priests and rabbis to make all of the new sacred oil. Now, there's no telling of that story in the Hebrew Bible. First and Second Maccabees gives all the detailed accounting of the war, who was in the war, all the names of who were on which side, all the different families of whether they were Hellenistic or whether they were Torah supporters. And the Torah really emphasizes the confrontation and the reestablishment of the temple as a holy place. It emphasizes the communal joy at having a cleansed temple and a sacred place to worship, and that they had a rededication of their holy place. The story of the miracle is only told in the Talmud. Now, the Talmud is what is called Midrash. So the Torah exists as a sacred scroll in every temple. But the Midrash of the Talmud is what every generation since then of rabbis has written about what is in the Torah, which is what makes Judaism such a relevant, ongoing faith. There is continual Midrash. So all these rabbis and scholars saying, this is what is meant by First Maccabees. This is what is meant by this passage. And they write on the edges of the Torah. So if you've ever seen the Talmud, it is writings of generations around the edges of sacred scripture. So sacred scripture is continually evaluated, assessed for its relevance in the world of that Midrash. So, in the Midrash, and I'm not sure exactly what time, but there's a story told about the oil. And I think it was in like the 1700s, but I'm not positive. And the rabbis all discuss what kind of candles should go in the menorah, what kinds of things you should do on Hanukkah, and why the miracle of the oil is so important. And then one rabbi asks in the Midrash, what is Hanukkah? And the eldest rabbi answers him with the tale of the oil and the story of the Maccabees, that it is both faith and miracles and courage that sustains faith. So for about 2 millenniums, this Hanukkah remains sort of a secondary holiday because it's not in the Torah, and not everybody reads Midrash, until the next time that assimilation became a really big issue. Victorian Europe, when Christmas was like all the stops were pulled out. So everybody had big trees, everybody had special clothes, and they were almost as wildly enthusiastic about Christmas as we are today. So there were Jews living in Europe, and all the children came home saying, can we have a Christmas tree? Can I get presents? This is a pretty attractive holiday for children. So Jewish parents are going, what to do? What to do? And they could feel that pull to be assimilated, to take on the Christian holiday, not only for the sake of their children who wanted presents, but also because there was that very similar cultural glitter. These were the wealthy. These were the elite. These were the educated. And they were out there in their finery, singing carols with their little hands in those really fancy muff things and the big capes and the trees, and everything was beautiful. And who doesn't want beautiful? So there must be something in here somewhere that will help us, right? Midrash. They found the story of the oil. Here it is. This is what we can do. We have something to decorate. We can give presents for 8 days. And we can have something that is equal to and as meaningful as this Christian holiday, that celebrates our identity, that lets us to be who we are and celebrate what's important to us. So, Hanukkah was reborn. And it combined both the emphasis on the Maccabees and the revolt and the resistance to assimilation, as well as the miracle of the oil. So they found a way in the 19th century to bring the two conflicting stories together, really connecting the Midrash with the Torah. Hanukkah celebrates the courage of the Jews to resist over the centuries the loss of their cultural and religious heritage. It is a holiday that affirms the power of human strength, the power that is unleashed whenever a human being, alone or with others, stands up for what is important, stands up not for what is glittery, beautiful, appealing, but for what is right. There's always a temptation around us, asking us to be something we are not. And we each risk the weakening of our lives, the purpose that we are brought to this earth to fulfill, when we are not true to ourselves. That's an important part of Hanukkah. Be who you are. The strength of your spirit, the relevance and the fulfillment of your life is dependent on you knowing and being just who you are. 2, do not wait for a solution before you act. Believe that what you are doing is right. Light the lamp. The oil will follow. But if you sit and wait and say, oh, we can't light the lamp because there's not enough oil, you miss an opportunity. Act. Act with faith that whatever will come will be the right thing. So there's some quote that I saw on a friend's refrigerator, and I can't remember it exactly, but it's something about leap. Make that leap from the cliff. One of two things will happen. You will either sprout rings or the ground will rise up to meet you. Not sure when. But there's an important piece of leaping on faith, of lighting that lamp. It took a huge leap of faith for the Maccabeans to revolt in their tiny numbers, to stand up for what they believed in, to affirm their Jewish identity, when all around them the world was affirming that they were not good enough and they were not the right kind of people. So they took that bold leap of faith to cleanse the temple and light that lamp. There was a reverence in doing that. And they allowed the miracle to happen. And isn't that what we all want to do, is create the opportunity for miracles in our lives? Hanukkah reminds us of the true gifts of the Maccabeans and the gifts that we can recognize and affirm this next week. Be sure to say Happy Hanukkah to your Jewish friends and to recognize the importance of them having a holiday to celebrate this time of year. The true gifts of the Maccabeans need to be celebrated by us all, affirming cultural integrity, self-determination, courage, and faith. Hanukkah reminds us all of the importance of courage and the courage it takes to be part of a world community without losing yourself. We want to belong. We want to be part of. We want to be accepted, included, without having to give up who we are. So the strength to hold on to your own while you make room for the other. Do not be silent. Do not roll over. That's what the menorah tells us. And that each one of us is responsible for the place that we make for miracles in our life. Take the leap of action that you need to take to open the door for the miracles of this season. They're out there waiting for you to invite them in. Light your candles. Light your lamps. And be faithful. So may it be. Amen. And blessings.